Hey, Tyler here. I just wanted to put a content warning for discussion of rape in this episode. We talk at length about the issues with Game of Thrones and the way it depicts it, so I wanted to be clear about that up front. I don't have a timestamp for when we stop talking about it, so I know the latter half of the show we've moved on at that point, but if you're sensitive to it at all, you might want to skip the episode. But as usual, thanks for listening, and here's the show.
Sound Fiction. This is episode 38, and we are the podcast every week that picks apart pop culture and media that we like. No takebacks. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm joined here every week with my co-host,
Kyler.
And this week, because by the time you're listening to this episode, the first episode of the latest and final Game of Thrones season will have aired on HBO, so we figured, why not talk about Game of Thrones, what we like, what we don't like, how we got into it, you know, all the things that we like to do, which is mostly talk about how things are deeply problematic and we don't like them. I'm just kidding. But I think it was interesting that we decided to talk about this because Game of Thrones, it's one of those TV shows that, like, so many people have a very strong opinion about watching or not watching, and also a lot of people watch, but also acknowledge that this show has a lot of issues, and so I don't think that that's going to be surprising anybody if we talk about it.
It's a gigantic show that's incredibly popular, and tons of people have like touched it, like different, you know, like tons of different directors that have moved on to other things have and like writers. Directed episodes of it and stuff.
Writers. Unfortunately, the showrunners are the same, but you know.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest problem I have with it, but so I think that maybe a good place to start off for our kind of, you know, giant Game of Thrones discussion, which, by the way, I think both of us kind of needed to, like, watch season recaps and, like, have character lists open because we're not going to remember a lot of names, so
yeah, bear with us. Didn't read the books, so it's not like things are cemented into my brain.
Yeah, I read some of the books, but that was a while ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of different stuff happens in the books versus the TV show, and people's names get changed on the TV show, but also it's just a huge amount of, it's a huge amount of television. It's like 80 something hours at this point of television to watch just to kind of catch up. So, please forgive us if we don't remember every single detail accurately or name things like that. You'll get the gist of it, I think, though. But, Tyler, when did you start watching Game of Thrones? Like, why did you start watching?
I don't remember the year. I feel like it was when season 4 was ending, which I don't know when that was. I don't know what year that was. Because I think I remember starting season 4. So what happened is I don't remember why I started watching it. Probably just because a lot of people... Because wait, when is The Red Wedding? Is that season...
That's season 3.
That's season 3? Okay, yeah. So I think I heard a lot about The Red Wedding and I knew what it was. I got that spoiled because I don't know how you wouldn't be spoiled on that. At least vaguely. I like the thing is, like, getting spoiled on The Red Wedding before you know anything about the story, you just know that a lot of good people die. So that's what I knew, and I was like, oh, that sounds kind of like wild, and I almost want to see the story that builds to that. So I started watching it on like just HBO Go or whatever, and I remember watching to like season 2, and I think I got kind of bored because it is a really slow moving show at the beginning. Because it's just not about, like, ice zombies and stuff. It's very much about, like, the political stuff and, like, the different characters and...
The machinations, I guess.
Yeah, and, like, it has, like, 3 storylines, right? Like, I think 3 with, like, Daenerys and stuff. So it's slow-moving, but it's good. I think I liked it. I think I just got a little bit bored or, like, just because I wasn't getting to, like, the Red Wedding that everybody was talking about. Mm-hmm. So I took a long break. Like, I took a break of, like, maybe another year before I actually, like, redid season 2 and then binged 3 and then got through 4. And I think at that time, Five was going or whatever. So then, and from then on, I've watched it live or whatever, like for every week. But I definitely got into it because people were talking about it, and I had never really heard of Game of Thrones, which is weird. I guess I just had never, like, I'd heard of, like, Lord of the Rings and stuff, but I'd never heard of, like, Game of Thrones at all. So I didn't know that it was, like, popular enough to become a TV show, but I don't know. I guess it was, like, gosh, I would have been, like, 18 or something when this happened. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But that's why I got into it. I mean, I just got into it because of word of mouth, I guess. Not because I had, like, read the books or anything. I really didn't know anything. I just heard it was, like, a fantasy show that was, like, doing kind of, I don't know, unheard of things with characters that, like having main characters just completely die, but it's still a show that's moving on. Yeah. Which I know that was, like, old for the books, but, well, I don't know. How did the, I mean, the books definitely, because they have different POVs, like we were talking about. So, like,
yeah.
I guess you still, like, kind of root for, like, Ned Stark, right? But he isn't, like, the only point of view, where the TV show he is, the first season.
It's, the TV show is in the ways that TV shows have to be because of how they're written and shot and stuff like that. They're very, because there's no narration and things like that, it's all third person, it's all omniscient to some degree. So while you follow Ned Stark or Daenerys or whatever, the show lacks the interiority of the books. The books give you much more insight into how characters are feeling because they can do that because it's all written down and you see everything from, you follow different characters, but you also get that, like, notation in the,
but what is, like, during the time of this first season of the TV show, was it doing different point of views, but, like, right alongside Ned Stark?
No, it was mostly, okay, everything that, it's kind of, it has to show a little bit of everything. There's stuff that happens that you're not aware, that Ned wouldn't be aware of, which is what makes Ned's decisions by the end of the first season so poor, because operating on the fact that, like, everybody's honorable.
Because they show that a bit in the show.
Yeah, in the show, like, the book in the, from what I recall, the book and the show are very different in that,
I don't know, because I remember people saying that the first season was very faithful to the books a lot, but obviously not with the point of views, so.
Yeah, there's a lot less, you get more with point of views in the books, for sure.
Yeah, like, but I wonder, the point of views must have been to the point where they were still really supporting Ned, So I mean that's a thing that we'll get sort of, we'll separate more as, like, with the TV show and the books in the future with the show, with the later seasons, because that becomes an issue, obviously. But it seemed like that first season, even, I don't know, was interesting because that's just something that, you know, a lot of, like, media doesn't do, is, like, just completely kill your main character but then move on.
I would argue that Ned was not even close to being the main character. I don't think Game of Thrones has a main character in that respect, which is why it's so fascinating.
Maybe in the books, but I feel like the TV show definitely, like, because they don't, until they move on from him, then it starts to reveal that there is no main character.
I don't know. I would argue that it's a deception to think that there's a main character. I mean, like,
yeah.
That's what makes
I think they play with that on purpose with the first season, is to, like, trick you.
Trick you basically. And that's why people who watch, and here's the thing, is I didn't start reading the books until a couple seasons in of the show.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you, like, read them way before.
Oh, No. I haven't gotten around to explaining that, but my jumping into Game of Thrones was extremely, like, ass backwards, basically.
Wait, did you read them because of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, around the third season or fourth season, I think, I read the books. I didn't even know what the books were until, I didn't know that Game of Thrones was a thing until several books in, because this is back in the very early days of my internet experience of, like, I remember people talking about George R. R. Martin not finishing a book. And I think that was still around the time that he's still writing the book that he's still writing now.
He's not past that, yeah. Because, like, Jon Snow has not even died in the books yet.
Yeah, so, like, so I was on message boards, if that gives you an indication of how long ago this is. I was on message boards, and that's the first time I heard about Game of Thrones. And then when the TV show came out, it looked interesting enough from what I understood. And, you know, it had obviously been like a popular cultural property that a lot of people I knew were into. So I said, I'll watch the TV show. And I went into the TV show knowing almost nothing.
Yeah, same.
About...
Well, you didn't even know about, like, the Red Wedding because it was too early, right?
No, I didn't know about the Red Wedding. Yeah. Because that was only a thing that you would know if you had read the books, and I didn't. So...
Yeah.
I went into the show, watched it faithfully for several seasons until about the fourth season. Remembering where certain events are in the show... I think it's four.
I think you had to binge five and six. Or five.
Five, six, seven. Yeah.
Six, seven. Yeah, because seven was the one that was live, yeah.
Seven was the one that I watched live for the most part because you got me back into it.
Yeah, I think you had to, like, I think you only watched, like, the last three episodes live or something.
Yeah.
If I remember right, but yeah.
Yeah, so I watched up until, like, me and my boyfriend watched up until season four. It's so funny. We even got, like, a TV and a cable package. So that
Game
of Thrones. Yeah, like, because up until that point, we didn't have cable, I don't think.
And HBO Go wasn't a thing then.
So. HBO Go really wasn't a thing yet, no. And we had cable, but we specifically upgraded, I think, for HBO, and we got, like, a nice TV. Because before that, we had, like, a really shitty TV. And we started watching, and we watched faithfully every single week. And then the fourth season rolled around, and the whole stuff with Sansa being kidnapped by what's his name? Snow, not Jon Snow, the other bastard.
Oh, Theon?
No, Theon is a Greyjoy.
Oh, yeah, Greyjoy.
Ramsay Bolton.
Characters involved with each other with different names, yeah.
Yeah, Roose Bolton's bastard.
Yeah.
And him capturing Sansa and the... let's keep it real here. It was a rape scene. And
I mean, they did it again after that, too.
Yeah, but a lot of really horrible stuff happened in the show up until that point, but Sansa's, like, quote-unquote wedding night with Theon, or not Theon, God, this is terrible, with Ramsay Bolton.
Ramsay, yeah.
That was so horrific, and having to watch that, me and my boyfriend both watched that in silence, and then stopped watching the show permanently after that.
Yeah, like,
That was a horrible episode. That was, like, borderline, like, triggering. And, like, I got up from the couch after we finished watching that, and my boyfriend was just like, yeah, I think I'm done. And I said, yeah, I think I am too. And I didn't watch Game of Thrones after that for another, three seasons. And then you were talking about you were still watching it, or you had just gotten into it or something. And I was like, oh, I guess there's new stuff happening. Maybe I'll start watching it again.
Yeah. Which is bad because, like, they did a basically rape scene after that with Cersei and
Jamie.
Wow. Yeah, Jamie. Yeah. But that one, the director still denies that it is, I think. Mm-hmm. Or maybe unless he said something new, but it totally
reading
was.
Reading that in the book versus how it was portrayed in the show was so weird because.
Yeah.
It was extremely rapey. In the book, it wasn't. In the book, it was, like, completely, like, we're two grieving parents, and, like, that's a pretty typical thing of, like, let's have sex because we're both upset. But it was consensual. Like, it was still messed up on some levels to have sex basically, like, near your dead son. But, like, made a little bit more sense, especially in Game of Thrones world. But the show is rape. It was just straight up rape. And so the fact that, like, the Sansa thing basically cemented to me, and I guess this is a good move to kind of the later part of our discussion, is like, so we got into this show, but it's a really tough show to watch, and it's a really tough show for me to, I don't watch Game of Thrones to suggest it to anybody, because I wouldn't feel comfortable suggesting it to anybody.
Yeah.
Because it's got a lot of issues, and most of those issues either deal with race or they deal with misogyny. And this show loves sensationalist gendered violence 100%. And it's taken the sting out of some of those things in ways that I find, like, enjoyable. Like the scene where Sansa basically feeds Ramsay Bolton to his own fucking dogs was so cathartic, and I understand that.
Yeah, it still, but it's cathartic because, like,
the really horrible stuff happened, and that makes me upset.
Yeah.
Because that didn't happen in the fucking books. Yeah. Like, so,
and
you,
it feels like it's like having its cake and eating it
too.
Like,
you too. Yeah,
yeah, like, because, like, it's like, oh, cool, so you get to, like, pay off a horrible thing that you did, even though it wasn't even the same way in the books, right? So,
yeah, by paying it off with something else horrible.
Yeah.
And, like, it's upsetting because, like, the thing, too, is, like, a lot of times when shows have characters that are underage, they're still portrayed by actors who are older, and there's a reason for that, is because you can't show minors in sexually explicit situations. That's pretty illegal, or not illegal, but, like, you know, like, you can't do that, even
you,
if
just can't. Yeah.
But, and so that scene was shot, you know, that scene was shot from the perspective of Theon. Like, that's the thing, is we don't really see most of what would be considered the really graphic stuff. You see it from Theon's perspective, and just sort of, like, his face.
Ramsay, I think, is what you mean. But yeah.
No. Theon's, remember Theon's looking through the door?
Oh, like, right. Right.
The real end of the scene.
Yeah,
the
I forgot, because it was supposed to be, like, the moment where he's, like, gonna help her. Yeah, okay, never mind, right.
Yeah. So,
but that's a bad point of view, too, though.
That it's also a bad point of view, yeah. Like, but they figured out a creative way of doing it, and so it's all left up to, like, noises, and sort of, it's worse because it's, like, left up to your imagination. But also because, like, Sophie Turner, who is the actress who portrays Sansa, she was, like, legitimately 16 or 17 at the time that was shot. And it was just, like, she looks like a kid. It's really upsetting. So, yes, the payoff is really good, but the fact that we had to go through that in general...
The construction of that scene is bad.
It's bad.
Really bad.
It's bad.
There's other ways you could have done that if you... Because it's in the books, right? But it's just different.
It's... No. Sansa never gets...
Oh, it's not even in the books at all? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it happens.
So they just wanted to make Ramsay really evil or something.
Well, he's already evil.
I know,
but even worse. Even,
to, like,
even
really,
worse evil.
Yeah.
I think something happened. Basically, I think what happens in the books, if I remember correctly, is it happens to another woman in place of Sansa.
Oh, I see.
Basically.
And so they made it her, and then they made it to where Theon sees it. So it's like, oh, look, now it's the turning point. Okay.
Now
so
it's turning
completely
point,
artificial for the show. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It's, And that's, I think that's one of the reasons that I have so many mixed feelings about this show is that,
well, they've even done, like, because it's HBO, so there's a lot of, like, nudity and stuff. They've even done scenes where, like women are getting, like, raped in the background.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. And they also, like, invented a character in this first season named Rosie, who Tyrion Lannister falls in love with, and she is a sex worker. And
right,
she goes to King's Landing, and she sort of for a while operates as kind of like an audience stand-in, in terms of, like, you see a lot of things from her perspective, in terms of, like, she's a character that kind of changes over the course of the seasons that she's alive.
Yeah.
Because you, and it gives you kind of a, gives the audience a good temperature of kind of what, you know, like Winterfell versus King's
Landing.
Yeah,
it's like a character sort of reflects like back what's happening, kind of. Like, you can kind of see it, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of see the culture shift. But then she ends up getting got in a scene where basically, like, Joffrey, in order to show that he's a real evil guy, as if we didn't fucking know up until this point, he's basically shooting, like, crossbow bolts into, you know, two sex workers, including Rosie, I think.
Yeah. Is it Rosie or is it Roz?
Roz. Yes. Roz. Okay. Yes, yeah. It's Roz. Oh my god, how did I forget it? Because
I don't know. I didn't know until, like, I started thinking about it right now. So yeah.
I should remember because I literally sold shirts on, like, Redbubble that was no Westeros without Roz with the ROS and Westeros was in red. Yeah. And I sold t-shirts of that until I got a cease and desist sweater from HBO.
That's funny because the podcast I listen to totally has sold Game of Thrones shirts and I don't think they ever got a cease and desist.
A lot of, like, DMCA blanket takedowns happen anytime some, you know, poor staff member of, like, these media companies goes to Redbubble, basically. Like, I also used to make bumper stickers that basically lightly alluded to, like, my other car is, like, Loki or something like that, or, like, my other ride is Loki or something like that. I also got a DMCA notice about, from, like, you know, Marvel and Disney and shit like that. So, funny side story.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the gendered violence in particular, on top of a lot of the Daenerys storyline dealing with, like, her basically being a white savior and all of these, like, weird shots.
Yeah, her early stuff is weird.
Also it's rapey, yeah. Like, yeah, just, yeah. I don't know, because in the books, Daenerys is, like, 14.
Yeah, they're all just really young. I forgot about that.
They're all really young. Yeah, they start out all really young, and they age them up for the show, which was, don't have a problem with that, with the kind of content we're dealing with, it's fine. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But in the show, it's her scenes with,
oh, gosh.
God. This is going to be a stretch, because this character's been dead a very long time.
Wow. Khal Drogo. I had to look it up.
Her scenes with Khal Drogo are in the show. Again, portrayed as much more, like, monstrous and scary than in the books. In the books, like, he's apparently very kind and very sweet to her, even though there's a language barrier, that sort of thing.
I think they try to show that in the show, but it doesn't work.
It's a little too late after they kind of do a couple of things that are just kind of weird, and I don't know, like, it feels like they weren't working, like, early. I mean, I just don't think Game of Thrones, the books, are particularly elevated works of literature in that way.
Yeah.
But the show goes even further and just really kind of drills into or wholesale creates elements that are far more upsetting and not very nuanced. And that's where you get a lot of the stuff with Daenerys, you know, being this, like, white-haired, pale woman being lifted up and cheered by huge shot of, like,
scenes like that, and, like, the Sansa one. Like, to me, it's like they really want the, like, really visceral, like, really, like, big shot that's going to be in a trailer, that's going to be this big moment to end an episode on or something, or big turning point. But they don't realize the subtlety that you would need to do that with, or, like, at least the how careful you need to be, because it just feels like an incredibly broad stroke to paint these things with when they're not they're dealing with like complex characters and also like complex topics. Like you can't, like, I think they thought that shot with Daenerys looks really good, but they didn't think about it at all. Like they didn't think about what visually that is just saying. Like, it's just weird. It just seems like they really want to show an idea visually that like the book obviously couldn't do in that way, but yeah. It never works because it doesn't have the like the detail and stuff. It doesn't have the pacing of the books either. Like it doesn't have the point of views. It doesn't have, it's missing so much of the nuance that when they're trying to do these like, big scenes, it doesn't work.
Well, I also think that the one of the problems the books have is the same problems that a lot of fantasy has, where there always seems to be a continent where there's like magical white people, and then there's a different continent where all the brown people live.
Yeah,
and
every fantasy story.
Yeah, and it's, you know, because it's Lord of the Rings in a lot of ways. Yeah. There's very bad, there's very bad racial elements or racial undertones to everything since like sword and sorcery basically became like a thing. But like Game of Thrones is a lot more contemporary and still traffics in the same issues. And it's really interesting because like it definitely, you know, that's where I think that's kind of where the show, it's very like garbage in, garbage out with the show, except they just, they just tweak it even more for the visuals. But like, even think about it, like, you know, like the fact that there is a culture of like brown people riding on horses on another continent, but then also if you look at like,
or even the her warriors or whatever with what's his name, the guy with the gosh there's Missandei or whatever, Missandei.
They're all marines, they're all from
they're all but then I'm talking about the guy that like likes her, I forgot his name.
Oh, Dario?
No, the guy that likes Missandei.
Grey Worm,
that's it.
Yes.
Like, even, like, Grey Worm and all the other men, like that are with him, like, are the same thing, right? Aren't they all...
They're all soldiers of something. Yeah, no, they're...
Like, soldiers for hire, but they all, they're just, like, warriors,
no,
and that's it.
They were all, like, taken as young children, right, castrated, and trained as warriors. Like, it's weird. Like, how there's so many things about, like, every place that isn't most of the, like, here's another thing is, like, there's even a kingdom, like, so, I'm trying to think, I just keep thinking of the Sand Snakes. What kingdom is that? That's the far south.
The name of that place?
Yeah.
What the heck is that called? I almost said Marine, that is not Marine. What the heck? We go there a lot in
Dorne.
Like season.
They're Dorne.
Dorne.
So Dorne, the Kingdom of Dorne is Dorne. Also portrayed in a very sort of like orientalist way of like, oh, they've got like a prince and all these princesses and everybody's very like polyamorous and they have sex all the time and they have tons of like bastard children because they don't care about anything. And it's very weird. Again, anything that isn't like King's Landing or Winterfell, which is, you know, very obviously modeled after, like, you know, Northern Europe, basically, is seen as these, like, very, like, either having, like, weird mystical elements or, like, weird brown people doing weird brown people things. So the show doesn't improve on that from the book in
any
meaningful
way. And it tries
to
have stuff with Grey Worm, but it's not, it doesn't. He's not really that great of a character. Like they're like they, I feel like they try to be like, no, we're gonna have like somebody that isn't white a main character, but or like a point of view sort of. But they, it doesn't. It's not ever on the level of anybody else. If they do,
no, and it's also like, I also think it's weird to me to have so Missandei and Grey Worm get together, which I don't know if that's canonical to the book. I cannot remember.
Grey Worm's not in the book, I don't think.
He isn't in the book?
I think he's a completely created thing from the show.
Oh, from the show?
I might be wrong, but I feel like that's
true.
But
yeah, they give those two people a romance, and it's, like, again, one of the few times that a brown character, brown and black character, is allowed to have a romantic relationship or relationships with anybody on the show that isn't. Yeah. And it's with a character that was also, like, forcibly castrated. It's just, I don't know, there's just a lot of elements with that in the show that it's very clear that the showrunners and a lot of the writers' room is probably white. Like, there's just...
Yeah.
So, it's really hard to have a discussion about Game of Thrones where I want to talk about anything positive about it because there's so many things... And yet I keep watching it. I keep watching this darn show.
Yeah.
Just, like, the fact that there's, you know, so many issues. So it's like, why is it so popular then?
Yeah. Well, at least it's about to be over. Well, until the spinoffs, it'll be over. And then until the spinoffs.
Yeah. And then, like, what's going to, yeah, it's, I know why it's a hit, because it's very,
yeah,
people love spectacle. People, yep, love,
it's bloody. It's like tons sexy, of sex. It's
tons, yeah, of sex and blood, violence, gore, that sort of thing. Like,
yeah,
political machinations, you know, not the best dialogue, but some good dialogue, some, yeah, big shocking,
and there's good characters moments in it too. I mean, oh, yeah, it's not horrible, but yeah,
there's good moments of good characters. Like, give me Brienne all day every day.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh,
where's
Brienne,
the spinoff with her?
Yeah, 100%. You know, like, I also love,
she better
Sansa,
not die. I'm gonna be mad.
She can't die.
She might though.
She's massive and wonderful. I don't know. Like, I know everybody can die, and that's kind, yeah, of the whole point of the show, is that, like, no one's life is precious or beyond, you know, like, no one,
especially,
is...
Never mind.
What?
I was gonna say, no life is precious, especially if you're not white, so.
Yeah, I mean, yes, exactly. I think the dragons on that show get more consideration.
Oh my gosh, they do, actually, yeah. They're expensive too.
They're expensive.
There's an undead one now.
Oh god. Can I be real with you?
No, you can't.
How much of that whole sequence with the undead dragon just reminded you of the opening credits to Wrath of the Lich,
yeah,
King?
It totally did. I was like, wait, I've done this before in 2008 or whatever that was. Yeah.
It's almost like I kind of want to go back and watch that scene and see how much of it might have been stolen shot for shot, yeah, from that. I was like, this is just World of Warcraft.
I feel like I'm sure people made that joke. I just didn't see it. But
yeah, because by that point I was already not playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, same.
When that came out,
it totally reminded me. I was like, wait, where's the Lich King? He's around here somewhere.
Yeah, like raising a dragon out of the ice.
Well, wait a minute. The Lich King could just be the Night's King.
basically.
I mean, he controls the undead. And we don't really know well, the Lich King's bad, and I guess the Night King's bad, but, like, we don't know the full intention. Weird. Anyway.
Well, here's the interesting thing that I think that I've heard is, like, a theory, and I know that we
love
some Game of Thrones theories, yeah, is that while all of this, like, pathetic mortal political machination is happening, really, really, the big actual powers that be in A Song of Ice and Fire is the fire, the Lord of Light, mm-hmm, and the ice, mm-hmm, the Night King.
Yeah.
And that the forces of ice and death, I guess, are not bad guys when you look at, like, the Lord of Light and that, and, like, Rylor, that sort,
yeah,
of stuff. I found,
yeah,
that
a lot
really
of people think it's
going to
be, like, a cosmic sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a cosmic thing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why the dragons came back. And that's one of the reasons,
right,
you know, like, there's a... I find that really interesting because that actually kind of puts a whole spin... Like, I actually like the cosmic / supernatural,
yeah,
elements,
yeah,
so much better than any of the political,
and I think that's
shit,
also, like, I know it was an old scene, and so now there have totally been retcons in the show already. But it's an old scene, but Daenerys has a vision of the throne that's, like, covered in snow.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah,
it, like, looks like the throne room is, like, I don't know, crumbling. So,
yeah,
they might do something with that where it's like, yeah, the throne just doesn't matter. Nobody,
yeah,
cares.
And I think that's actually an interesting thing to think about is, like, all of this fighting and, you know, like, squabbling and petty shit and all of these people wanting to control all of the islands means very little when the entire continent is potentially going to be swallowed in a giant winter season that could last for years, which is, I think, very prescient to our time period right now. But I think it just makes for a sort of a deeper, sets a deeper tone to the conflict that makes you realize, like, yeah, a lot of these people are having wars and political intrigues for no reason when there's magical elements afoot.
And they were trying to do that a little bit with the last season of having Jon Snow go around and be like, none of this matters. The undead people.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, whether you think the undead are, like, on the side of good or not good or whatever the hell you think about them, they're coming, you can't stop them, that's way more important than anything else going on.
Yeah.
And I think that that finally put some stakes back into the world of Game of Thrones in that way, and that's why I'm actually interested about the end of this season.
It's funny that you like that so much, because you totally need to play the Banner Saga, because the Banner Saga is similar in the way of, like, small scale stuff but also cosmic stuff.
I actually have the Banner Saga because
I thought you did.
My boyfriend got it for me because he really likes it.
It reminds me, like, that game really reminds me of Game of Thrones in that way, because it's got really interesting characters with the less problems, and also, the cosmic stuff is really interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, like, I find that stuff, I really like it because it's, like, a lot, it sort of takes everything out of the terrestrial world a little bit. Which I find to be kind of an interesting spice, just because I don't find the politics, like, here's the thing, is I do like political intrigue and stuff. Like, I've watched so many, like, you know, political thrillers or dramas in my time. Yeah. But when it comes to Game of Thrones, I actually find the political intrigue in this show extremely boring and not very well written.
Yeah.
It's not actually very exciting. Because a lot of it is just like, oh.
It's a lot about, like, houses and stuff that you don't really...
You could do that well, but the show really doesn't, and the books really don't.
My problem is always, like, obviously, like, the Lannisters and the Starks, sure, but, like, the random other houses I never know enough about, which I know that stuff is explained in the books, so I never care as much about how, like, oh, the Bannermen of the Lannisters are mad about this or whatever, you know, I never completely understand it.
It's completely a thing you'll geek out for if you were at any point interested in, like, medieval England, I'm sure, but making that stuff interesting in Game of Thrones is really not happening because it's too big. The scale's too big, the scope's too big,
and I think that's why it really focused on Lannisters and Starks at this point.
They represent ideological positions more so than anything. Like, the Lannisters clearly are a once former, like a house with glory, former glory, who will do anything to keep themselves entrenched in the power, and that Robert Baratheon taking the throne was clearly a fluke. Like, that was clearly meant to be. The Lannisters have had noble plans for this sort of thing for years, and it sort of, there was a fluke, basically. And also, you know, with the house that Daenerys comes from, again, long line of royalty that held the throne for years and sort of represent the issues with monarchistic inbreeding, basically. And then you have the Starks, who are these, you know, dour of the land, you know, very pessimistic line that also still somehow believes in, like, noble retribution and things like that, and that really doesn't,
like, justice and, like, serving people.
Which doesn't work when you're on the same playing field as Lannisters. So it's like, I found that part really interesting, but everything else is so, like, I don't know. Like, I understand why there's a lot of death, because that makes sense for that kind of, like, you know, schism in thinking. But on the other hand, it's like, so many of the characters involved in all of these political intrigues are not very interesting people. They're just kind of dour and awful and evil or problematic in some way that, like,
yeah,
you know, it's a lot of guys fighting about stuff. Mm-hmm. So the elements that do interest me are, like, the women characters, who I feel have so many more complicated circumstances to deal with, because clearly this is a fantasy world that dragged in the same issues of, like, patriarchal power structures and misogyny and racism and things like that, colonialism, that sort of thing. And it's like, I find the women characters and kind of what they go through a lot more compelling and a lot more interesting. And this is why I think Cersei Lannister is evil, but fascinating.
Yeah, she's a really good character.
Yeah, and in the book, I think the show does a disservice in not being able to have the time to spend that the book does in terms of, like, giving her point of view chapters later on. Because
I can feel that. It takes a lot of me, because I didn't read the books, it takes a lot on me to, like, really read into her as a character, just from just listening to other people who have read the books and stuff, to really appreciate her. But yeah, I think on its face, she is supposed to be just really villainous, and, like, I guess, like, she worries about her children. Like, they tried to do that opening to whatever season that was, where it's, like, she's told that, like, her children will die or whatever. And they try to make that, like, I know that's in the books, but, like, they try to make that, like, oh, that's, like, something we need to really worry about in the show, is that she cares about, like, her kids and stuff. But they never really, I don't know, it's never that important, especially when there's, like, dragons and zombies.
Which is funny, because it should be important, and I think that's why her blowing up the keep was so fascinating, because you really saw that with nothing left to tie her to caring about the welfare of certain people, she was just completely going to say, fuck it, fuck all y'all, I'm doing whatever I want. I've endured so much because I've had to play this game twice as hard as everybody else, and I've survived being married off. Like Cersei Lannister is where you see the fact that the Lannisters have a very cutthroat sensibility, but that Cersei Lannister basically, I think, took the role that Jaime and Tyrion were never going to occupy. Yeah. Which is that she, clearly, if she had been born a man, she would have been the person that probably could have, like, won the bag, basically. Because Jaime was like, oh, I'm going to become part of the Kingsguard, so I won't be eligible to, you know, be royalty. But also, like, Tyrion obviously scorned from the family because he's, you know, little person and, like, considered, like, blighted or cursed or whatever, and Cersei's a woman, so she has to get married off and not actually have any political stakes of her own. Yet has made most of the political moves outside of, like, Tywin Lannister, basically. And so I really find it interesting that she is a villain, and that she does do the thing that she does, and that's why I don't have a problem. Like, I think some people have kind of had a problem with her existing or being a villain, and I thought that was kind of short-sighted, because, like, women villains are kind of in short supply in a lot of places that aren't kind of just these flat, you know, like, witch or hag or, you know, like, sort of amoral but no motivations, whereas, like, Cersei's evilness is extremely believable.
Yeah.
If everybody killed my kids and I got married off to a guy I didn't like, I would blow the whole thing up in a heartbeat.
And I think they, at least, even on the show, I think they do a pretty good job at showing that she isn't just sitting on the throne. She makes moves. Like you said, like, she blows it up. She makes decisions that, you know, maybe are evil, but she had, like you said, she has a point, and so I think that makes it less like she's just, like, this, like, flat character. Yeah.
Which I find more interesting than Daenerys.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because in a lot of ways, Daenerys also kind of had to struggle in some ways, but then used what huge amounts of power she was given with his, which is, you know, with the dragons and things like that. And basically it allows her to just sort of like steamroll through most of the continent.
Yeah, she gets like a ticket to just do whatever she wants because she has dragons.
Yeah, and armies also,
and, yeah.
And also believes that she has kind of the divine right to like tell people how they need to like conduct themselves in their cities, mm-hmm. which on the one hand, yes, abolishing slavery. On the other hand, is like super surprised when like assassins rise up to try and kill her when it's like, well, yeah, you came into somebody else's city and basically became a dictator in their city. So,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
And yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I find the women characters in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because I think I like Sansa too. Like, I like, and I know that like in the book she does a lot more like playing the game, I guess. But I think that she's really interesting too. Just all the stuff that she's went through, and she's still, you know, she's even more of a leader now too in the latest season.
Yeah, she
and she's even like, disagreeing with like Jon Snow. Like, she doesn't like how he's doing things.
Yeah, like I like Sansa. I like that her. She's survived some shit as well.
Yeah.
She has 100% survived some shit, and I think that that's made her really astute at what... like, if any person other than Cersei really knows kind of what the fucking deal is, it's Sansa, basically. Yeah. And so...
She is like the Margaery, but poor Margaery.
Oh, but, God. You know. Yeah, I feel like Margaery just wasn't that good at doing what she did.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I also thought Marjorie was really interesting, but I also thought, I don't know, the whole, like, Highgarden stuff was really fascinating because, you know, the Queen of Thorns.
Yeah.
Oh, God, like, I mean, like, they made some decent casting choices for this show, but whoever, like, I know, I'm trying to remember
I don't remember.
Is. Whoever they cast,
yeah.
Like, for Leon, I think it's Lyanna.
Yeah. I don't know how to say it. I think you're right with the name.
No, Lyanna is Mormont. That's Lyanna Mormont.
Oh, right.
That's a tiny kid.
Who are you talking about then?
I'm talking about what's her face?
The like.
Olenna Tyrell.
Olenna, yeah, okay.
Yes, okay. Just a lot of names with like L's and Y's and N's mm-hmm. and E's. So yeah. The woman that they cast for Olenna Tyrell, Diana Rigg, amazing actress.
Just
unbelievable. Like, just kind of punching, like, I don't know. She's a little bit of a heavyweight in terms of acting compared to some of the other people on the show.
She completely steals every scene. Like,
every scene.
Even the final one where she dies. She completely destroyed, like, I don't know, she's really good.
Yeah, like, Jamie's there to kill her, and she's just like, yeah, I don't give a fuck, dude, like,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, she basically kills him. Yeah, it's,
she's, oh, God, like, if there's any one person in the show that's, like, that I would consider, like, a bad bitch, it's her. Like, she moves a lot of pieces around the board as well. I don't know, like, it's really interesting that a show like Game of Thrones does do bad by so many of its like women characters, but also so many of the surviving women characters are really fascinating. Like, also what's her face, the red witch.
I was just thinking about her. Gosh, we were horrible. Red lady
starts with an M. It's really long.
Oh my gosh. Melisandre.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Oh, Melisandre. Also really fascinating because she, like, if you really think about it, so many of the people actually making the political moves in this show are women. You know, Melisandre is pretty much the force behind Stannis Baratheon. And also the other brother dying, and then you have Arya and Sansa and Cersei and Daenerys.
Arya's so cool.
Yeah, like, Arya's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if I love the direction they're going with her now, but I did like her. Yeah.
I found her to be somewhat bloodthirstier than I would have liked, but on the other hand, I think she represents a really interesting facet. Like, Arya and Sansa together are kind of an interesting comparison in what surviving trauma looks like.
Yeah.
And Sansa's moves were to keep your head down, mm-hmm. don't make any waves, just go along with it, just get through it, and eventually just try and keep yourself alive. Whereas Arya's was a lot more aggressive of just like scraping to get by. Don't give keep anybody shit. Yeah, keep the list. Like, be driven by revenge, let no one in, you know, like that sort of thing. Very interesting, very interesting.
I mean, she still tries to kill the Hound, you know, even though he was sort of helping her. Like, she's still like, nope, I'm going to kill you.
She's so driven by anger that it kind of hollows her out on the inside.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which is why she's somewhat of an unknown object at this point, whereas you get the sense that Sansa has had a lot more time to sort of reflect on her situation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think Arya has spent so much time sort of running around kind of hungry and just driven.
And she's kind of alone a lot too. Even if she has other characters, those characters are mysterious and stuff, or like the Hound that is just like not going to really be like anything. Yeah.
She's kind of feral in that way. Just like,
which, I mean, I guess it's a point, but you just don't get the interiority, I guess, like you do with, like, Sansa.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the one thing I think is kind of lacking from the show, is we really just don't get a lot of, like, interiority of where the characters are really coming from. It's all sort of, like, predicated on us viewing sort of outside events that sort of shape their personality, but we sort of have to guess as to what the real trajectory of that is. So, I don't know. Like,
it just makes me a little worried, though, because the last season just felt like a big turn in the show, just being like, okay, nobody ever travels anymore, and it takes a long time. It always takes, like, the one scene.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, none of that matters anymore. And then we have stuff where it's like, here's a bunch of characters, like, when people joking, like, it's the Seven Samurai or whatever, like, out in the snow and past the wall with, like, Jon Snow and the flaming sword dude and stuff. Like, those characters are cool together, but they also, like, they would have a lot of stuff to talk about, but they never talk about it. Like, isn't the one guy, like, wasn't there something with, like, somebody's dad? I don't remember. I know there was, like, two characters in that group that, like, totally would have things to talk about, like Jorah, but they never mention it because it's all about just, like, killing zombies and fighting the Night's King.
It's big set pieces now versus, like, little character moments that I think made the series more interesting.
Well, and I think that's the stuff that's, like, I wonder if the book is, this is not even in the book, or if it's in the book, it's completely different.
Well, it can be padded out in the book by interstitial scenes, you know, of, like, you know, people getting to have those, you know, conversations. I find all the stuff with, like, I find the fact that we're still allowed to see what Samwell is up to really interesting, because he is such a fundamental part of figuring out the larger, like you said, cosmic or, like, supernatural forces in the world. Like, he's the first person to figure out that there are things that kill Nightwalkers, and that's dragonglass, and that makes a lot of sense because dragonglass is basically hardened dragon's fire. Of course that would kill Nightwalkers. Hello. That came up in, like, the first or second season.
Yeah.
So it's like, and, you know, like, like you said, we don't get a lot of character moments anymore. It's more just these big battles, and it feels like, I don't know how much learning about things we're really going to get this last season, because it feels like they're just going to try and end every single storyline really as fast as possible.
Yeah, because it's like 7-8 episodes, and they're, I mean, they're long, but I don't know, like, they're going
to
be
have
big
so
battle
much
scenes
moving
too.
To do.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating that this show is so long running and does have so many different characters. It just feels like maybe in the hands of other people, this could have been done better. I don't know, because I don't think that the book...
More deftly or something. Like, it just seems a little, like... It's just, like, rough in some ways, and it's so... And like you said, like, it's hard to recommend it because there's just so many spots throughout the seasons that are just really, they have a ton of issues and they're not very good and they're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet,
and it's the kind of stuff you could just cut or frame a completely different way that would be really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing is, I love big things with a lot of characters if they're done in a really interesting way and they have something to say about the nature of power. Game of Thrones had a couple of moments where they really did try to say something about the nature of power and you know, have tried to make the statement, like, thematic statements about that sort of thing, but it really did get lost in a lot of, like you said, like, big set pieces and having to move characters around the board, basically. And that sucks because, Game of Thrones could have been such really fertile ground for so many different things, and, you know, I feel like at the end, it still is a big fantasy story that just sort of collapses under the weight of its own narrative in a lot of ways. Same with the TV show.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, maybe kind of round things out is what are you hoping for from this last season?
I hope it really gets into that. The cosmic stuff. I hope it really, well, I don't know. I guess it's really tricky because the cosmic stuff is interesting, but I also think that, the characters are interesting. Some of them are.
Yeah.
So I really want more of them too. So it's hard. I don't know how they're going to balance that. Cause like, I don't want Cersei to just like die from a zombie. You know, not that I think she will, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't want her to just completely like to do nothing with her just because there's dragons and stuff. I don't know. I hope that they somehow, I guess that's it. That's it. I hope that they somehow balance that in a way that feels satisfying, even if it's maybe lesser than, or like, you know, less than what I want. I hope that they try to like come to conclusions for some of these characters because I don't know. It would feel bad if they just did if they did like a Red Wedding thing of just killing everybody. Cause like, I don't think that's really.
With no message.
Right, with no message. Like, I don't think it should just be like, oh, it doesn't matter at all. I think there's stuff you could do with... Even if the throne doesn't matter, I still think the characters matter. And there could be an ending for Cersei that, you know, maybe she doesn't keep the throne, but maybe it's, you know, it's something else thematic.
I would love the throne to be destroyed.
Yeah. Some people have even... I think a theory is that, like, Cersei's actually the only one alive in the end. So it's like she has a throne, but nobody's there.
That would be such a
yeah.
Oh man, that would be such a great ending. I think you'd probably like that ending a lot too.
Yeah. Just
knowing what I know about your feeling on like the like futility of futility of
very Dark Souls.
It's very Dark Souls.
But it would be good. It would be like you could just see it like a snow covered throne. She's sitting in and like zooming out or something. Oh, it would be good.
Oh.
I'd be into it.
Or she's sitting in the like destroyed on fire ruined castle of King's Landing and everybody's dead. Like just
and they could even show her being like, you know, happy, but like happy in that like twisted way of like I won. But
at what cost?
Yeah. Maybe that's cliche. I don't know if that's cliche, but
it's a little cliche, but I don't care. At this point, Game of Thrones has hit every cliche as possible. Right.
But see how, like, that's what I mean when it's like, okay, clearly she'll probably just die because the world's over, but that's an interesting ending that is about the character, too. Yeah. I hope they do that. I don't know if they will. Because you have the scenes with, like, the seven dudes, and it's like I said, they had stuff to talk about. Instead, they're just fighting. I don't know. I just worry that the show is just to become just all style and just nothing of substance.
No substance.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, God, I'm going to say something that I don't want to say, but I'm going to say is that it, having been playing Dark Souls, the subtleties that happen when you really ruminate on the decrepitness and rot that spreads through the world and really sort of meditating on what power and progress can do. I mean, like, I feel like that could be a really rife theme for the last season of Game of Thrones, and in a lot of ways you wouldn't even have to do it in like a Dark Souls way, because you know, Westeros and Dark Souls, you know, the world of Dark Souls are very different in a lot of ways. They're their own places, and that Game of Thrones has its own thematic lessons that it could really bring to bear here, like such, you know, the nature of political power being so meaningless in the face of larger forces, and mortality being such a burden, that those are things that could be brought up, and I want them to, that I guess that's what I want them to do, is to really meditate on the things that are being said by the world of Westeros and really kind of hammer them home versus just doing big set pieces.
Yeah, to go back and like dig into the core of it instead of just covering it with like big battles and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does it
know,
mean?
That's the thing, is I just don't know if I'm not confident that's going
I'm
to happen.
I'm not confident. No, it's HBO. Like,
yeah.
That's what's going to sell, you know, like that's what's going to get people to watch it, you know, like.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad it's ending. Like, it's not that I want three more seasons, but I don't
it's
know.
It's okay when things end.
Yeah. Because I just wonder if, like, it almost sounds like we're saying, like, gosh, I wish it was just going on more. But no, I want it to end. It's just...
I want it to end. I just wish that Game of Thrones had been written and produced by better people.
I thought you were just going to say, I wish Game of Thrones had been written.
Yeah! I'm not that mean. But true. Gosh, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure we'll check back in on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we're gonna watch the first episode this week, and you know, maybe we'll check back in. And I mean, obviously, we're not gonna turn to a Game of Thrones podcast for sure. But like, you know, we might, you know, mid season.
We are turning into a Dark Souls podcast slowly but surely.
I hate it.
You're the one, it's your fault, you like it.
You gave me the dragon rot.
Yeah. Oh my god, okay. We need to shut this podcast down.
You've created a monster, Tyler. This is your own fault. You
it's
did
just,
this
it's
to me.
It's huge that you brought it up and I didn't.
You opened the fucking door. And you are now sorry that you did.
I opened Pandora's box, but it looks like a Dark Souls chest.
Is that those are the ones with like the teeth, right? Yeah. They have the teeth.
How do you know about that?
I don't know.
Huh.
Oh, right. It's the end of the show. Gotta go.
Yeah. Well, you may know that chests have teeth, but you don't know which ones. So that's all that matters.
Well, I actually think the chests with teeth are a D&D thing.
Yeah, no, they aren't new to Dark Souls. I just, it is a thing that you will discover in your playthrough, and it'll be funny.
Look, I found my first illusory wall.
Yeah.
So, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling confident that I can handle it.
I just can't wait till you find one of those chests. This could be funny.
Anyways, that was our Game of Thrones episode.
Yeah.
Tyler, where can you be found on the internet?
I'm on Twitter, unfortunately, at Tyler Culp, TylerColp. I'm on, I write for BlizzardWatch.com. I also stream for them, which is twitch.tv/BlizzardWatch.
Also, I can be found on Twitter at Apple Cider, which I also do stream for Blizzard Watch as well. Also, I wrote a piece this week that we can link in the show notes. About Dufran retiring from the Overwatch League and how Overwatch League needs to push for unionization for its players.
It's not even just about Dufran, really.
Yeah, it's just kind of a starting point.
Yeah.
But I'll include a link to that. I wrote for Fanbyte. If you want to read that, I'll link it in the show notes. Also, if you like the show, you can follow the show on Twitter as well at MISFcast. You can send us comments, questions, retweet our shows.
Yeah, and since Game of Thrones is happening, I mean, if you have any thoughts about Game of Thrones, we'll definitely
appreciate.
You know, it'd be cool to read other people's reasons for getting into it, or maybe why they stopped, or what they think is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. If we want to do like a second Game of Thrones episode, basically, you know, reader mail, that sort of thing, just send them in, which you can send to our Twitter, or you can write us at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. Also, if you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It means a whole lot. Also, tell your friends if you like the show as well. And our intro and outro music was done by Maddie Myers, and you can find everything that she does at middiemyers.net. That's MiddieMyers.net or Middie Myers on Twitter. And that's it for us this week. And we'll see you in Westeros.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah, me either. Bye.
Bye.